Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm your guest bailiff, Jean Gray, in for Jesse Thorne. This week, Sunrise Upset. Kara brings the case against her husband, Colin. Colin began setting an alarm to rise with the sun each day. He says it's not only useful, but that he enjoys feeling synced with the natural world. Kara says the sunrise alarm is impractical and is just Colin's latest new thing. Should Colin continue rising with the sun? Only one man can decide. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom and issues the obscure cultural reference.
Before I issue the obscure cultural reference, Kara and Colin, could I ask your ages, please?
I'm 27.
And I'm 29.
That's very eloquent. I can't argue. I can't argue against anything you're saying. Then again, I don't have to, because you're 27, 29 years old. You're children. Look, let's face it, you're probably much more intelligent people than I am. In fact, I guarantee it. But even smart kids stick their finger in electrical sockets sometimes. It takes time to figure things out. It's been proven by history. All mankind makes mistakes. It's our job to try to protect you from making the dangerous ones, if we can. Me and Jean Gray. Jean, swear him in.
Colin and Kara, please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or whatever?
I do.
I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that for one full year he synced his sleep pattern to Sun Ra and his entire orchestra's sleep patterns?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Judge Hodgman, you may proceed.
Karen, Colin, you may be seated. First of all, welcome guest bailiff Jean Gray to the courtroom.
Thank you
for coming in, Jean, and filling in for my good friend bailiff Jesse Thorne. Jean Gray, if you don't know her, you ought to. She is a singer, songwriter, rapper, actor, comedian, filmmaker, author, and just polymath of all things awesome. Anything I missed there, Jean?
No, it sounds like I should just be exhausted.
But aren't you?
Yes, I am.
That's right. Yeah, you usually are when I see you.
Yeah.
Jean and I have because she works so hard, you guys, she's bringing things out all the time. If you want to find out more about her, and I urge you to do so, go to jeangray.bandcamp.com for all of her music and thoughts and amazingness. She's at Jean Greasy on Twitter and at Jeannie Grigio on Instagram. And she's one of my very favorite people that I've come to know in the past year and of all time. So I was really happy when she was able to fill in for Jesse today, who's doing something else at the moment because of my own dumb schedule. So it's not his fault. It's mine.
Okay.
Now,
thank you.
I'm also, you're welcome. Thank you. Karen, Colin, I've never met before and I have no opinions about them yet.
That's good. That's good.
But maybe we'll be friends or enemies by the time this is all done. For an immediate summary judgment in one of your favors, can either of you name the piece of culture that I referenced as I entered the courtroom? Let me give you a hint, or clarification at least. Everything I said from That's Very Eloquent to the end, until I mentioned Jean Greasy, Jean Gray, a woman of many pseudonyms, is a quote from something, right? The only things I changed were the age involved, and I made some references to me, but it is a quote from a thing. Can you name what I was quoting? I'll start, let's see. Who's bringing the case to me? It's Kara. Is it not Kara? You get the first crack at it.
I have no idea.
Colin?
Is it like Fahrenheit 451 or something?
Fahrenheit? Why? Why?
What?
I don't want to say nothing. I got to give something, so I gave that something.
Do you have a copy of Fahrenheit 451 on your desk or something?
Not since eighth grade.
Why is that? It's very weird. It's
that
a very
was
weird
very... Yeah, he just went right to it as well.
I think that I've used Fahrenheit 451 before, because it's a good one if this case is about burning books or lighting fires. But this isn't about that. This is about Colin's weird choices, and we're starting with a bang.
Yeah.
When it comes to weird choices.
Explains a lot.
Jean Gray, can you guess what it is? I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
I am referencing a movie that I will mention in the future, specifically next week when we do a Chambers only episode together in the future, next week. Something that hasn't even happened yet, but I know you have incredible mind powers. Can you look into the future and think of a movie that I am going to mention on a Chambers only episode that will not come out till next week that maybe we just recorded ourselves?
I cannot, so I'm going to go with Fahrenheit 452.
Oh, the sequel.
The sequel? It was much better.
Yeah, right? No, but it's interesting you should bring up sequels. This is a movie that is not a sequel. It is a movie that I will mention in the future, and close listeners to Judge John Hodgman, when you get to this episode in the future, you'll be like, oh, he was telling the truth. Moonrise Kingdom is the movie that I was quoting. Oh, you got it. You remembered there, right? Moonrise Kingdom, directed by Wes Anderson, co-written by Wes Anderson and Roman Coppola, what I consider to be a perfect movie. It is the quote, is Bruce Willis's character talking to Sam Chukwuemeka, the 12-year-old child in that movie, about responsibility. And I mentioned Moonrise Kingdom because there's nothing good that has sunrise in the title. And this is about getting up at the crack of dawn. I could have done something crack of dawn. I could have done sunrise, sunset, but that one was too on the nose. And instead, I'm going to say that I was making reference to my unofficial Moonrise Kingdom sequel, Sunrise Kingdom. In which I'm just pitching this now. This is going to just in the room.
Very exciting. Loud.
Sunrise Kingdom. It's going to be starring me as Sam Chukwuemeka, now 43 years old. The year is 1996. I'm still married to Susie, or maybe we're divorced. I don't know, but we live in that Francis McDormand, Bill Murray house that they lived in. But now the island of New Penzance, it's 1996, and the island of New Penzance is like hosting a kind of Lollapalooza-like festival. And I have to, and the problem is that I've rented out the top floor to the spin doctors. And then I don't know what happens after that, but it's crazy. Gene, that sounds like a movie, right?
I already started typing this into Kickstarter.
Yeah,
just
good.
Right now, so we can get it.
Yeah,
going.
Yeah. It's totally. This is totally illegal.
Yeah,
we do not have the rights to do this.
No,
but I was very proud and excited to have worked with Roman Coppola on Mozart in the Jungle, the great Amazon series that is coming back again, and you should watch it. And so maybe I can talk to him. Maybe get this going. You know what I'm talking about, Gene?
That was a very humble brag.
Oh, no, it wasn't a humble brag at all.
Oh, just full on.
Straight out brag.
Well, it was well played.
All right. But now we have to get down to the business of this court. Colin and Kara, you are here seeking justice from the fake court of the internet, which is me. And Kara, the problem, as I understand it, is this. Your husband, Colin, is that right? Husband?
Yes.
Husband, yes. Is setting the alarm in a very specific way. Explain.
So back in February, Colin declared that his new thing would be setting a sunrise alarm. So every night he checks and sees what time the sun will rise in the morning. And then he sets the alarm for that time and wakes up at that time. And back when he started, that meant waking up at 6:37, which was about when he was waking up anyway for work. We're now at, I think, 5:24. I don't think it's bringing anything positive. It's just sort of choosing something. Well, I don't want to say that sunrise is arbitrary, but we live on clock time. We don't live on sun time. We don't live any sort of pastoral lifestyle where what time the sun rises actually matters.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say for everyone who's on this particular Skype call.
Yes.
who is speaking to each other from both across Brooklyn and, I gather, across the globe, right? Because you guys are in Taipei?
That's correct.
And we're talking to you in Taipei right now?
Right now.
Right.
Yeah, so I think it's safe to say that we're not all four of us Amish.
No. Well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay, Gene. Okay. But Kara, you would like me to order Colin to stop this crazy scheme?
That's correct.
And Colin, why is that not fair?
I don't see how it's making anything worse. She says it's not bringing anything positive into my life. But, I enjoy looking up what time the sun is going to rise the following day. And then it seems not arbitrary. Yeah. I think it's not an arbitrary thing. Like waking up when the sun comes up is it any more arbitrary than saying, like, I want to wake up at 6:30. And, our lifestyle is not pastoral, but where we live is, it's on the side of a mountain and there's a jungle outside. And, so
anything goes.
Anything goes.
Anything goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you some details about why you're pursuing this and what it brings positive to your life. Your argument is it offers no negatives to your lives together. Kara, how long have you guys been married?
Since August.
Of this year?
Yes.
Or last year, I guess.
Well, yeah,
last recording.
Year.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, I live by clock time. I live by calendar. Sometimes I get confused. So you are a relative newlyweds. How long have you known each other?
It's coming up on 6 years now.
Yeah.
6 years.
Six, seven.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so is it true that this offers no negatives to your life personally, or does it affect your life personally? Setting aside what you think is what is rational versus ridiculous, setting aside to your concern for whatever he might be doing to his body and his bodily clock.
Mm-hmm.
What about how it affects you personally?
Well, I'd say his willingness and excitement to talk about it would add something negative. With Colin's new things, they're often a complicated solution to a small problem. And he likes to share this solution with people. So it's been a topic of conversation. And I think making a hobby out of a bodily function isn't necessarily the best topic of conversation. So I'm a little tired of it coming up.
Or arguably the best way to live one's life.
Yes.
I'm not talking about the specific act of setting the alarm in a certain way, but I just love the phrase, maybe we shouldn't be making hobbies out of bodily functions.
I'm sorry to interrupt because she did say new things. So I'm kind of curious. There have been other new things then.
Oh,
things
gee.
That are the kind of the thing. So this is the new thing.
Guest bailiff Jean Grey with the sweet follow-up. Good one, Jean. Go ahead. What do you mean? What are the other new things?
There have been a lot of new things, and usually they'll kind of pop up and then fade away, which is what I thought would happen with the sunrise alarm as well. I don't remember what the first new thing was, but for a while it was only wearing shirts with band collars. And then it was,
wait a minute.
What?
I don't have the sartorial expertise of regular bailiff Jesse Thorne here. By band collars, what does that mean, Colin?
It's like a collar that doesn't fold over. It's like the
like a navy
like
jacket.
Old-timey
shirt.
Yeah, like an old-timey
shirt that you would have to attach. You would have to attach a celluloid collar to.
Oh no! Wait, dude. Maybe.
Let's say like the kind you might wear if you had a return engagement as a creepy psychiatrist in the television show The Nick.
Possibly.
Gene, that's another.
See, I don't think we get the show The Nick in title.
Let me clarify for you and Jean Grey.
Yes.
That was another straight up brag. Up brag from John Hodgman.
See what happened there. Were you wearing band collars?
Yeah.
I was wearing a shirt with a banded collar, and then I had to wear a cellular collar on top of it. Also, that the great director and amazing person Steven Soderbergh could shoot me entirely from behind, but that's another story.
No. Oh, wow. All right.
And
so
not entirely, but you got a good shot of my collar, that's for sure.
Well, perhaps Colin was wearing it for purposes of filming?
No, Why were you wearing only band collars? What was the purpose of that new thing?
Well, it's a lot hotter in Taipei. The climate isn't really amenable to wearing. Higher collars. So I wanted to try out the band.
Yeah, you know, but you know, they make T-shirts, right? You know what I mean? Like, they also make Panama shirts. They also make
Tank tops.
Yeah,
there are all kinds of things. Like, you picked something that is not renowned for its heat dispersal qualities. I'd like you to stop dodging the question and answer. What is the purpose of the band collar affectation? And the answer may be no purpose. I just liked to do it.
The purpose was it looked chic, and I liked to do it.
Chic.
All right. I like that. That's a good answer.
Yeah, I've worn some things just because they looked chic.
Kara, what other new things has he tried? Band collars?
Well, then he couldn't continue with the band collars because he was going to wear earbuds as a bolo tie.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
And then in order to wear some sort of tie, you need a regular collar. I was very disapproving of that one. That didn't last too long.
Wait a minute. I want to get to Colin on this one. This is either loathsome or genius.
Genius.
You're saying genius, Gene?
No, I was just suggesting the other thing that it could possibly be, because there are only two things.
But Colin, so tell me about I grew up in Boston in the 80s, and I liked the Talking Heads, and I liked David Byrne and True Story. So, you know, I wore some bolo ties in my teen years. I'm not against this, but how do you turn earbuds into a bolo tie?
Well, I was born in Boston in the 80s, and I just thread the earbuds through the collar, and I didn't have a fastener necessarily yet, so that it was more of like a beta bolo phase. But that new thing only lasted about 6 hours, because when I came home from work that evening, I was reprimanded pretty severely, and I kind of came around on it.
He had been talking about it for a long time.
How long?
I don't think I've been talking about it that long.
A couple of weeks.
It seemed like a pretty novel. That felt more of like a flash of inspiration kind of thing. I might have been talking about bolo ties, but not necessarily earbuds as the bolo ties.
That is possible.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you really only got halfway there. You're using the. You don't have a bolo tie unless you have the cord, which you were using the headbands for, right? And then you have that fastener, which invariably has a scorpion preserved in amber or something.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, I had one of those ones. Mm-hmm. I had one of those ones.
Maybe you bought my old one. Maybe I sold it in Boston and you bought it, or vice versa.
That's likely.
All right. I got to put a pin in Boston there for a second, because I want to figure out how you guys got to Taipei from Boston. But we got band collars, bolo ties. Kara's building a case against you. Kara, what else is in your case against Steve? Oh, it's Steve. Where did Steve? How'd Steve get into this?
One that's been pretty consistent has been drinking what he calls an elixir of health, which is vinegar, some sort of tea, usually chamomile, and then honey. And is there lemon juice in that too?
Not often, no.
Okay, not usually. which just smells like vinegar. And I think he started that when he was sick, and now it's become more of a daily thing.
Colin, is it apple cider vinegar?
Yes. Thanks,
Gene.
Yes, it is. Yes.
I'm going to have to let Colin go on that one. It's actually pretty good for you.
Thank you. Smells terrible.
Thank you, definitely David. Smells terrible.
Yeah. You know what? Gene, you keep talking. I'm going to get some right now. I got some in the other room. Hang on a second.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Keep talking, Gene. Keep asking questions.
Are you heating this mixture up? Because I know that when you heat up vinegar, it does definitely tend to leave that smell kind of lingering around the house. So I can see how that might be a bit offensive.
I put it into the boiling water.
Yeah. Would you at all consider just having that as a cold beverage?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I have some apple cider vinegar right now. Here we go. We're all going to do a shot.
Okay, I'm in. I put vodka in mine.
I just took it straight. Apple cider vinegar is supposed to be pretty good for you.
Yeah.
And I always enjoy it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's for everyone.
No, Cara, it is not.
Are there any other so-called new things you want to put on the table for us to discuss?
I would say the last one would be wearing socks inside out and filling them with baking soda.
Inside out and filling them with baking soda. What's going on there, Colin? What's the theory?
Well, wearing them inside out helps prevent blisters. And I think filling them with baking soda is an exaggeration. I lightly dust them with a bit of baking soda just to keep them clean.
It goes bag to sock. That is filling a sock with baking soda.
It's true. Yeah, in Taiwan, the baking soda comes in sacks. It doesn't come in boxes. So it goes sack to sock. Yep.
You're doing this before washing them or
before wearing them.
Before wearing them, it's kind of a deodorant type of situation.
All right.
And would you say this is also to adapt to the climate of Taiwan?
Well, I wore my socks inside out back in Massachusetts as well.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't want to talk about that. I'm just talking about the baking.
The baking soda. Yeah. Well, I used to...
Baking soda or baking powder?
It's baking soda.
Baking soda, like Arm & Hammer.
Yeah.
Not to name a brand. Yeah. I don't want to talk about your weird affectations in Massachusetts. Let's focus right now on Taiwan. How did you get from Massachusetts to Taiwan? Why are you there? How long have you been there? I'm asking Colin first.
Okay, we moved here 5 years ago. We moved here together 5 years ago. Kara wanted to move. So we met in Boston and. Kara wanted to move somewhere.
It sounds like you're making this up as you go.
I'm not. It was such a long time ago. I'm trying to piece it all together.
Yeah, what do you mean? First of all, it's 5 years ago. It's not a long time. Maybe to someone who's 27 or 29, it feels like a long time. It's not a long time.
No.
And second of all, you made a massive life change by moving from Boston to Taiwan a year, based on my math, or more or less, after you met this person and started a new life together in a foreign place. So this should be something, this should be a memorable touchstone in your life. But since you're having a hard time getting around to the crux of it, I'm going to be the crux finder and go directly to Kara. Kara, why'd you guys move to Taiwan?
I just felt like moving abroad somewhere and then
what
Colin
do you do
came
for
along
living?
For the ride.
All right.
Well, Colin has actually had a more stable experience here because he's a teacher and he just wanted to continue teaching. So he's been teaching here the whole time. And then for me, I taught for a year, I studied Chinese, and then I'm finishing up my master's now.
So since you led this expedition to the other hemisphere, and you described Colin as being along for the ride, what drew you to Taiwan? What drew you to Taipei specifically?
We were looking at a number of different places, but actually Colin's brother was studying here at the time.
Okay.
And then he has an aunt who's lived in Taiwan for about 20 years. So Taiwan kind of seemed to make sense.
Got it. And how do you like it?
It's great.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
A little hot, but great.
It's pretty hot.
But you're planning to move back, right?
That's,
and that's part of the issue?
That's correct.
All right. What do you teach? What do you teach over there, by the way, Colin?
I teach math, social studies, and English at a junior senior high school.
Are you fluent in the language? What is the dialect of Chinese that is spoken in Taiwan?
Mandarin is the official language, and then a lot of people speak Taiwanese as well. Some people speak Hakka. Elderly people tend to speak Japanese.
Got it. It's an interesting place. I'd like to go. But and I'm glad that I know this baking soda tip for my socks.
Don't forget your band collars.
And then when you file the affidavit, and I just want to break this all down, Kara, you also suggested that future new things that Colin has declared, that you fear the possibility of going halal and or kosher secularly.
That's correct.
Not eating after sundown, which is, according to you, stage two of sunrise alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And three, donning a teaching smock. Colin, what is a teaching smock?
Teaching smock was a solution I had conceived for a problem that Kara had identified. The problem was that I often come home from work covered in chalk.
It's really covered in chalk.
And she thought this was unseemly. So donning a teaching smock would be this garment that I could wear. It would be a chic smock. It'd be a chic smock, and it would keep
with
the
a band collar.
With the band collar and keep the chalk off my clothes. Yeah.
You would presumably only wear that in school.
Right.
Not don a teaching smock, say, on the weekends or on date night.
Probably not. No. Only in the halls of academia.
So Kara has listed a number of new lifestyle regimes that you have adopted and abandoned, and you are looking forward to other new lifestyle regimes. They're a little bit, it's hard to pin you down, other than you have distinct, like they're not thematically aligned. Do you know what I mean? It's not like all going into a sort of more pure homeopathic living of some kind, or, you know, on the one hand you're powdering your socks, on the other hand you're making bolo ties out of garbage. And if you were to draw a connection between all of them, what role does starting these new things, these new regimes, these new ways of life, what does it play? What role does it play in your life? What do they mean to you?
I think it's a way of I've been thinking about this lately because I knew that I was going to have to defend it in an internet courtroom, and I think it involves living with more intentionality and, mm-hmm. you know,
or just more intention.
Yeah. More intention. But it's good, 'cause then I can offload, some of the intentionality to the regime, as you mentioned. And then, it's like one less thing I have to worry about. Although it gives me something that
I have to worry about. Describe what you mean by saying offloading some of that.
Yes. I thought that was interesting.
With the sunrise alarm, it's very easy for me to know, you know, if I have to deliberate between sleeping in or not sleeping in, like, you know, I'm not going to sleep in because I have to wake up at the sunrise alarm. Like today, I'm saying hypothetically today it's like 6:07. Tomorrow it's going to be 6:06. You know, there wouldn't be some sort of thing where I would.
It's the classic Jeff Goldblum in The Fly talking about how, like Albert Einstein, he has all the same clothes, so he never has to think about how he dresses.
Yeah. I've never quite gotten.
And by the way, Colin, uh-huh. I have to apologize to you for being a pedant and correcting your word intentionality to intention. Intentionality is a perfectly valid word that I've just learned. I'm absolutely aghast and ashamed, and I apologize, and I won't correct you again.
That's okay. I appreciate pedants.
So, do you mean to say? What a surprise for a guy. a guy who's waking up at sunrise for no good reason.
Didn't think that would happen.
And turning his socks inside out for a reason that still eludes me. What do you say?
I'm still confused.
Yeah.
Here's my question. So you have washed the socks. They are clean socks. Are they a different material on the other side? Or, because all of my socks just tend to be the same sock material all the way around. So wearing them inside out would essentially just be the same sock again. I'm just a little confused.
How does turning your socks inside out prevent blisters?
I read this is some sort of old-timey NBA secret, and I think it involves the seams in the the seams in the toes and the heels, because the seams are on one side and not on the other side.
Ah.
I thought you said MBA secret, like a master's, master's. Business administration.
Well, I think it might have started in the
business.
This is
what I learned. This is what Mitt Romney does. This is what Mitt Romney does. He turns his gold toes inside out.
That sounds about right.
Blisters. Yeah. Oh, maybe there's something to that. I don't know. Maybe you got all kinds of schemes and so forth. But specifically, you're suggesting that by setting your alarm at sunrise, how does that help you to live with more intentionality?
Well, because I'm doing it on purpose.
Yeah, but how does it allow you to shed the decision about when you wake up more meaningfully than just setting your alarm for 6 a.m. every day? Because that's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Then the alarm is making a decision for you, same way.
I think, well, here's another way of thinking about it. Since we moved here, you know, the seasons aren't as distinct as they were in New England. So it helps to add more seasonal, maybe call it shift or drift, into my schedule. And
okay.
Like, the other thing I should note is that, yeah, because this started, we moved into a different apartment back in February when I started this. I'd been thinking of doing the sunrise alarm for a long time.
How long?
This has been in gestation for a while. Yeah, I've been.
How long? How long?
Years,
how long?
Years, years. At least
how
two.
Many years?
At least two. Possibly six.
All right. Yeah. What gave you the idea to do it?
It just occurred to me that it was something that could be done.
I see.
My goal was thinking that, like, someday I could grow up and maybe, I could, like, yeah, wake up at sunrise, and then when sunset would happen, just go to sleep, or like, and not necessarily have to go to sleep, but maybe like be ready to go to sleep and just live that way. It would have to wait until retirement. I understand that's not practical now. But like maybe, you know, retire somewhere to the hills of Western Massachusetts and just live that way.
Colin, yeah. when you had thought of this idea, did you bring it up to Kara, the original sunrise alarm idea?
I'm sure I sort of mentioned it.
Not years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe not years ago.
Yeah, you realize that you're a young man, but you're not Henry David Thoreau, right?
No.
You're not living in a cabin in the woods.
Not yet.
Right.
It's true.
You're not living in it. Well, first of all, you're not living in a cabin in the woods. You're living in, you're working in a school in Taipei. And second of all, you're not living in a cabin in the woods by yourself, living with another human being.
This is true. These are both true. I will say though.
You aspire to an agrarian style life, but you live in a quite large world-class city. And you have a demanding day job that I know from living with a school teacher myself is exhausting. What time do you go to bed?
Well, that's the other thing, is that lately, since I've been doing the sunrise alarm, I've been getting better about going to bed at a reasonable hour.
What time were you going to bed, and what time are you going to bed now? Say, roughly speaking,
before I was probably going to bed around 11. You know, I would try to go to bed by 10, but it would turn into like 11:30, 12, sometimes later.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I got the sunrise alarm, I try to go to bed by 10 o'clock.
And when you go to bed, Colin, Kara, how late do you stay up?
I have a pretty inconsistent schedule right now. So it really depends. I try to stick to an 11 to 7 schedule, but that hasn't been happening the past couple months.
How much time are you guys getting to spend together as an actual newly married couple since making all of these schedule changes?
Jean Grey with the sweet question.
What?
On weekends we see each other.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time together.
And are you doing the sunrise alarm on the weekends as well?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm not. He is.
I am, and that's what I'm saying. It's great because then even on the weekends, I'm waking up at a reasonable time, There's none of that. Feeling as though something is lost on Monday when I have to wake up at the same time. It's, you know, it goes to the sunrise. We went to visit my, one weekend recently, there was, it was a holiday here. We went to visit my aunt. She lives about 2 hours south of here, 45 minutes on the high-speed train. And it's a little, the city, Taichung, it's a little east of, it's a little east of Taipei. And so the sunrise alarm was at 5:45 in Taipei, but then we went to Taichung. It was 5:47. So it's like I gained 2 minutes.
How did you adjust?
Well, it was, I'll tell you what, Judge, it was a little rough on the
it's
back
harrowing.
End. I had to drop down to 5:44 on Sunday, but it was good.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Kara, do you feel that this is like, Colin says you guys hang out on the weekends and it's no big. In fact, he might even get extra time out of it because he's waking up early. But is this affecting your lives together on a weeknight basis? You guys socialize? You guys watch Game of Thrones? I don't know what goes on over there. How do you feel about your husband going to bed at 10 o'clock every night?
Now it's okay. I'm pretty busy as well. But when we go back to Boston, we're probably going to be on a similar work schedule. So it would be nice mm-hmm. if we could kind of have more of a similar sleeping schedule at that point and not have the sun kind of determining what his schedule is going to be and have practical matters decide what his schedule is going to be.
Well, this is a big issue because you are moving back to Boston, I presume on purpose with intentionality.
Yes.
Well played.
And you sent me Kara, chart of the sunrise, sunset comparisons between Taipei and Boston. I can't read charts. What you've crunched the numbers. You've looked at the data. What is the wrench that moving back to Boston will throw into this otherwise perfect system?
There are two issues. The first one is that you can see the difference in the time between the earliest rise in Taipei, and then in January, what will be the latest rise in Boston. And then the problem with the latest rise in Boston is that it's 7:14. And as a secondary school teacher, that's not, I mean, it would be impossible for him to use the sunrise alarm and still get to work on time. And I mean, I don't think that he's going to let it jeopardize his work, but if he's going to have to make an adjustment to the sunrise alarm, then I would say, why don't we just get rid of the sunrise alarm now, then have to wait until it actually poses a problem in his life.
Colin, do you disagree with Kara's assessment that the sunrise alarm will make it impossible for you to get to school on time once you move back to Boston, Massachusetts?
Yeah, I disagree strongly. I think one of the great things I've learned as I've been wrapping my head in my life around the sunrise alarm is that there are lots of different sunrise. Well, there's one sunrise, but then there's like there's astronomical twilight, nautical twilight, civil twilight. So you know, it seems pretty straightforward that if we move back to Boston, if in the event that the sunrise alarm was impractical, I could switch to like a civil twilight alarm, or maybe a nautical twilight alarm, or maybe an astronomical twilight alarm, or maybe an astrological twilight alarm.
Colin, it seems that a lot of this is the enjoyment in actually doing the research and finding out new things for you. Do you think it would just be possible to be able to research these things, learn about them, and then not actually have to make them a part of your life?
I think that making them a part of my life is a more represents a more fuller experience of learning, though.
Do you feel like you are, you know what, maybe a better question. Outside of, I guess, teaching wise and your job, what are your creative outlets or hobbies?
It all goes into teaching primarily. Goes primarily into teaching.
So, but is there anything as an outlet that you'd say that just has nothing to do with No offense, Cara. Just kind of your own thing where you feel like you're getting Colin time and this is just a thing that you do to be able to express yourself, to be able to learn more about yourself and, you know, kind of just time away from everything.
Sometimes when I write tests, you know, I try to.
Yeah, that's still your job.
Yeah, that's my job. I don't really have a lot of stuff on the test. Yeah.
Hmm.
I used to have more creative outlets, but.
What were they?
I used to play music. Like I used to, primarily that. Yeah.
Why did you stop?
I think when we moved, it was, I wasn't very good at playing music. Didn't enjoy it very much.
Did someone tell you you weren't very good at playing music?
No, I kind of figured it out.
Oh,
I think it's pretty clear that he's a terrible musician. Jeez, don't bully the poor guy. What kind of music did you play?
Unremarkable music.
Come on now.
No.
Don't. This is like remember all those straight up brags I was doing before? I want to hear.
Yep.
I want to hear a little bit of brag, or at least not self destroying humility.
Yeah, I used to play like rock music and stuff.
All right. What kind of instrument do you play?
I used to play guitar and I played the drums sometimes. Play the bass guitar. Yeah.
All right. I like the sound of that.
Mm-hmm.
So what you getting at, Gene, by asking him these questions?
My initial response, even before talking to Colin, was I feel like he probably put something aside that he's trying to fulfill by doing all these other things. And as someone who does a lot of creative things and also has gone through many self body experiments, such like only eating Skittles to see how my urine would turn out. We don't have to discuss that right now.
Oh, we do.
We could. I did that.
Maybe everything that needs to be said about it has been said.
Perhaps. But I do understand, kind of looking for these new things to put it. And it is a way of creatively expressing yourself. And I learned when I put more of my effort into just actually doing more creative things that those kind of new things, really became less of a problem. I kind of immediately knew that it was, hey, there's probably something creative that you need to go back to in order. And that's probably a lot of the purpose that you're feeling like is gone. Even if someone tells you you're an awful musician, it doesn't matter. It's music. It's not going to be wrong. It's just something that your soul kind of needs to do.
Does that make any sense to you, Colin?
It makes sense to me. The thing I'll say is that I was doing a lot of these things back when not necessarily the things I'm doing now, but I was doing new things back when I was playing music. Like I tried to create I called it the Sea Captain diet. I was just going to eat cornmeal.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. Wait, say, I'm sorry. I overspoke it. What was it? Cornmeal and molasses?
Yeah, it was like cornmeal and molasses and, salt cod. It was a lot of salt. I'm a vegetarian.
Sure, are you sure this is the Sea Captain's diet? It sounds more like the Cabin Boy's diet. Yeah.
It didn't last very long, Judge.
How did you develop the Sea Captain's diet? Did you read a book?
Of course not. Of course not. No, I just kind of was shooting from the hip.
Just
Tara. I'm sorry, Gene.
I didn't know the Sea Captains were into those just molasses a lot.
Cara, did you, is some of what Colin is describing, some of this behavior that he's describing, is this part of why you fell in love with him?
The Sea Captain diet was before we knew each other. I would say I appreciate his eccentricities, but not when they just become rules that he likes to live by. I think that part of him just kind of likes inconvenience and trying to find a way around the inconvenience. And that seems to be the direction that these new things are going.
It sounds to me like he's trying to find his way around convenience. He's trying to avoid convenience.
Yeah.
Whenever possible. So when you learn that he once spent some time eating salt cod and cornmeal and molasses, or when you became aware of his habit of devising new and arbitrary self-control habits, to the point that you would write into an internet judge to intervene, are you troubled by it?
I wouldn't say troubled. I would say the sunrise alarm is the closest that I'm getting to troubled, because if it continues, I know that it will affect our social lives, especially once we're back in Boston and hopefully have a little more time to socialize. I feel like I can see the direction that this is going in.
And you don't like the way it looks?
Correct.
All right. And truthfully, is there anything that he has done specifically with the sunrise alarm? I mean, I felt when I asked you this at the beginning, and I want to revisit this for one second. I said, what has been the negative impact to you? And I think what you described was the embarrassment that you feel when Colin brings up his sunrise alarm and his elixirs of health and his sock deodorizing skills and other sort of his other new programs in social settings in a way that's embarrassing to you. Does that really describe it, or is there more to it than that?
That describes it for right now.
All right. You get up whenever you feel like you want to get up, right?
Yeah. Whenever it makes sense to get up.
And what time do you go to bed?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, it kind of depends. I try to stick to an 11-7 schedule, but I've had to make a lot of calls back to the U.S. the past couple months, so that kind of makes it more difficult.
And do you feel of an evening, for now, never mind what might happen in Boston next, do you feel of an evening abandoned by your husband to this, he's left you for his weird new sleep schedule?
I don't think he's left me, but it does take up conversation time. And like the other night, we were listening to a podcast, and like just before it ended or right when it was ending, he was like, "All right, well, the sun rises in 6 hours from now, so I better go to bed. Good night."
So it does take away from some relationship.
Right. How did that make you feel? I think. How did that make you feel?
Less important than the sun.
I think I've heard everything I need to hear. I am going to go set the alarm in my chambers to come out at precisely 4 minutes, and I will render my verdict at that time.
Okay. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Colin. What do you think of your chances here? And are you thinking of a new thing right now?
I'm not thinking of a new thing. I'm not feeling good about my chances. And, you know, it was funny. I woke up this morning at astronomical twilight, and I thought about how it occurred to me, you know, it kind of hit me that maybe yesterday would have been the last day of the sunrise alarm. And, feeling real dread about not waking up tomorrow at sunrise. I gotta admit, it felt like I could have made a better case to the judge.
Does sound like a lot of fear. Kara, how about you?
I'm feeling great. I feel like I made a decent case. I trust the judge's decision, so we'll have to see.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment with Judge Hodgman's decision.
You're listening to Judge John Hodgman. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. Of course, the Judge John Hodgman podcast, always brought to you by you, the members of MaximumFun.org. Thanks to everybody who's gone to MaximumFun.org/join. And you can join them by going to MaximumFun.org/join.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom.
Oh, it was not exactly 4 minutes, and now I feel really unclean. I feel like I got to go dust myself off with baking powder before I even start with my verdict.
I just thought that's how you're going to come in, so... But you didn't.
I overheard you through the chamber door, Colin, that you didn't make a strong enough case. And I would say that's true. I think that the reason that you didn't make a strong enough case, I am not saying that you are a narcissist, but what you are doing is narcissistic in that it is preoccupied with yourself to the exclusion of the person with whom you are sharing your life. It is not actively disruptive to Kara's life. I can't really gauge the degree to which it is really emotionally disruptive at this point, but I think Kara feels that sometimes these habits, which affect your life profoundly, particularly the sunrise alarm, are more important to you than she is. And I would note that it's not just the time that you wake up and the time you go to bed, but the concern that she has with the amount of time that you discuss it with her and with others and the way that it runs your life. I mean, it does. It's you running your life, or you ceding control to the heavens, to the celestial bodies, right? But it's something that you're spending a lot of time thinking about and enjoying personally. If you were a person living life on your own, I would have no problem with any of this, so long as it was not intrusive upon your daily life in a destructive way. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, this is a time of your life where you got to be figuring out how do you want to live. You know, your 20s is a great time for you to turn your socks inside out and see how that goes. To figure out maybe you're not, you know, maybe you can be a morning person. Maybe that's more fun and productive in your life. Maybe it's a time to wear bolo ties made out of earbuds and try out new things. And the truth is that you have every right to pursue these weird self-designed programs of self-perfection, even within a marriage. One thing I'm convinced of about the sunrise alarm is that you are getting a lot out of it, personally. Correct, Colin?
Yeah, that's correct.
You're having a good time, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
And it is perhaps more meaningful to you than earbud bolo tie or gargling with apple cider vinegar. That it is meaningful to you enough to try to fight for it in your own quiet agrarian way. But it is important to appreciate that you are sharing your life with someone else. You are not alone in a cabin. Thoreau was a total narcissist. Thoreau sat out there in that cabin and was not only a narcissist in the sense that he was devoting his life to his own beautiful thoughts and flute playing in the woods, but he was a narcissist to the point where he wasn't going to let his project get in the way of his desire for a sweet pie from his friend Ralph Waldo Emerson's kitchen. And he would just walk over there anytime he wanted some real food. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there are no rules applied to Henry David Thoreau. And it's really the fact that Kara is saying that she feels that the things, the projects, the new things are eclipsing her importance in your mind. That is the thing that as a husband, you have to pay attention to. Not now, but in the future, Jean Grey and I are going to have a chambers only episode in which we will discuss a woman who is married and an adult who has a teddy bear she's had since childhood that she wants to sleep with in the marital bed. And the husband doesn't dig it. And they're having a fight over this. And this is a similar sort of thing. I won't spoil for you the outcome because that is going to happen in the future. Yeah. This is a similar situation where a profound personal connection that one person in the marriage has is emotionally disruptive to the other person. And when do you call it off? I think that to balance that point of view, however, is the fact that you guys are in Taipei. You have been enjoying a perfect 5-year mind broadening life, more interesting adventure in a foreign country. You have gotten a master's degree. You have taught in another language. You have experienced something that many Americans won't, and you're getting ready to move back to Boston and resume what some people would call a normal life. And for that reason and that reason alone, I think if you're going to be trying out new life regimes, this is the time to do it. I think that you are both you're both young in your marriage and you're both young in your lives. And with regard to the specific issue here, the specific regime at issue here in this case, this is not right now a terrible time to be getting up with the sun every morning and experiencing as much of this daytime as you can, specifically since it doesn't seem like you would go out on the town a whole lot of the time. Do you know what I mean? And you're sacrificing a lot. Kara has made the case that you are causing her to sacrifice a social life in the evening in Taipei that you would otherwise have by staying up an hour or two later. So I don't have any problem with the sunrise clock right now. I think that it is, you must acknowledge that it is selfish. You must acknowledge, I mean, that's, it is. It's, but in the same way, you know, look, I have a friend. This is a straight up brag too. I'm friends with an amazing writer named Heidi Julewitz, who just came out with a book called The Folded Clock, which is a series of essays in the form of journal entries. And she talks very, very thoughtfully and funnily about the alienation she feels from her husband whenever he goes on a diet. And he goes on extreme diets that are not about losing weight, but are about controlling his life in an ascetic sort of way, in the same way that you're doing with the sunrise clock and considering doing with becoming kosher or halal for no reason, because you don't care. Do you know what I mean? These are life projects that we undertake. They are any diet, you know, is a project of trying to create and sustain a new version of yourself. And when you are going into a project as consuming as what you consume, or when you wake up, or how you live, it can be a profound journey, as long as it's healthy, into self-discovery, because that is what asceticism is. You know, you give up something, or you align yourself to a strict regime in order to discover things about yourself. It is life with intentionality, and it's great, and it's interesting, but it's selfish, and you have to be cognizant of how your selfish project is perceived by, one would presume, the most important person in your life, who isn't you, Colin, and also and experienced by it. And if the experience is negative, you need to take that into account in a way that I'm not sure talking to you, I don't get a gut feeling that you're really taking that into account yet. So I'm issuing this warning. Go forth and wake up at sunrise, at least until you guys move back to Boston. When you move back to Boston, I anticipate that your life, for the various charts and graphs that Kara has presented with me, is going to have to change. But I think that you should be more attuned to how Kara experiences your projects and to self-modify accordingly, rather than going by the charts of sunrises and sunsets in Boston. Be aware right? Make this as much your new project as anything else. Of how your experience of these little self-improvement projects affect the most important person in your life, who is Kara, and make that part of your project as well. Do you see what I mean? Because the truth is, you're not going to live in Western Massachusetts and go to bed with the sun and wake up with the sun in perfect retirement until you move out there and do it. You know what I mean? I'm not sure if Kara wants to do that. You know, that's not the life, you know, you're leading. You can engage in these projects, but make sure that you're living the life that you're actually, that is actually around you in the moment. And that life that's actually around you in the moment will involve school schedules in Boston, and the sun as it shines on that cold, hard place known as the hub of the universe, Boston, Massachusetts. But it also, and always, involves your wife. So continue on rising with the sun. When you move back to Boston, I urge you to reassess. Indeed, I order you to. And have a serious conversation with Kara about it and hear what she has to say at that time. But for now, with that due warning, since Kara has not proven that it is actively disruptive, it's merely embarrassing. I'm not going to order you to stop waking up with the sun any morning. This I find in the favor of the defendant. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules that is all.
Colin, how do you feel about the judge's decision?
I feel elated. I feel relieved. And I think he his decision was fair. I think it was sound. And I'll take his words to heart.
Wonderful. Kara, I apologize. Is it Kara or Kara?
Kara.
I don't apologize.
Kara, do you think...
Look, you guys.
What?
I've been on the Nick. I've been on Mozart in the Jungle. I know Heidi Julewicz. I know Jean Grey. I don't apologize for anything. The world has to organize itself around me and my personal self-improvement project of bragging all the time. Sorry, I didn't remember your name. Kara, or whatever it is. I apologize. No, I really am sorry. I apologize. I apologize to you too, Jean Grey, for interrupting you. Go ahead. I apologize.
No, it's fine. It was great. Carrara, as you will be known now. Do you think the decision was fair?
I think it was fair. I can only hope that Colin will really reevaluate his sleeping schedule once we get back to Boston.
I am super excited for both of you, and thank you for being on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Soundheap with John Luke Roberts is a real podcast made up of fake podcasts. Like, if you had a cupboard in your lower back, what would you keep in it?
So I'm going to say mugs.
A little yogurt and a spoon.
A small handkerchief that was given to me by my grandmother on her deathbed.
Maybe some spare honey.
I'd keep batteries in it. I'd pretend to be a toy.
If I had a cupboard in my lower back, I'd probably fill it with spines.
If you had a cupboard in your lower back, what would you keep in it? Doesn't exist. We made it up for Soundheap with John Luke Roberts, an award-winning comedy podcast from Maximum Fun, made up of hundreds of stupid podcasts. Listen and subscribe to Soundheap with John Luke Roberts now.
Oh my gosh, hi, it's me, Dave Holmes, host of the pop culture game show Troubled Waters. On Troubled Waters, we play a whole host of games, like one where I describe a show using limerick, and our guests have to figure out what it is. Let's do one right now. What show am I talking about? This podcast has game after game and brilliant guests who come play them. The host is named Dave. It could be your fave, so try it. Life won't be the same.
Big Business, starring Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin.
Close, but no.
Oh, is it Troubled Waters, the pop culture quiz show with all your favorite comedians?
Yes, Troubled Waters is the answer
to this question and all of my life's problems.
Now, legally, we actually can't guarantee that, but you can find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I had so much fun.
Yeah. We'll do this again. This is wonderful.
That was amazing. Judging people.
Yeah, it's fun, right?
Yeah, and they were lovely. They were lovely. I still think he needs to, you know, go play some instruments.
I think you found. You know, normally I'm the crux finder on this, but I think you found the crux of this is that he is in need of some expression.
Yes. And I just really, as someone who goes through all of these, I change my diet. I've done macrobiotic and vegan and like all these. And then I try just weird things and I'm like, oh, this week I'm only eating green beans. And then you get to a place where you're like, I just need to moderate.
And, you know, since you are a creative person who mm-hmm. makes things, that exercising or seeking creative output in the things that you consume is paradoxical and does not compute.
It does not.
You know, this is sort of my issue with foodism. I love food and I love cooking and I love making food. Do you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But at what point does taking pictures of everything you eat in a restaurant, is that differentiated in any way by buying shoes or collecting videotapes? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
that people who define themselves by their collections,
yes,
you know, often get great comfort and solace out of that sort of thing. But in my mind, and forgive me, collectors, it's never quite the substitute for making something
exactly
with your hands,
making something out of nothing, and just the idea of the alchemy in it, and it's a very big deal, and you don't necessarily have to share all of that all the time.
Right. And or just playing a song on a guitar or a ukulele that you don't write, but you learn how to play. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's something profoundly therapeutic to it. And I don't mean to put down those people who take pictures of food.
If you use a flash in a restaurant.
Yeah. Right. 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 Because that'll overcook the food.
Just don't do that.
You're really. Yeah. You're just right. In any case, Gene, thank you so much for bailiffing. You are wonderful. You are a creator. You create so many things. GeneGray.bandcamp.com is the one-stop shop for those people in their lives who make nothing and have to fill up the emptiness in their lives by buying things. And I encourage them to buy all the things from you.
Yes, please.
'Cause you make a lot of things.
Many things.
And you have a new album coming out in June.
Yes.
With Quelle Chris called I Sweater God.
That is correct.
Is that correct?
I Sweater God.
And that's going to be good. And 2 days from this very day, if you live in New York City or environs, at the Bell House, one of the great performance venues in the world, Gene, you're doing something called May Day Melee.
It is the May Day Melee. And I wasn't planning on doing anything, coming up soon just because I've got, 90 million things to do. But, I'm super excited about it because, you know, sometimes at the last minute I'll get a night and then I'll have to figure out everything around it. So I will be hosting, my very own first late night talk show.
Yeah.
With guests and commercials and a DJ and segments and ponies. One pony, not many ponies.
A real pony?
They're letting maybe.
You have a real pony in the.
Maybe. Right. Maybe.
Many surprises to come.
Things. And followed by a dance party.
That sounds fantastic.
Yes.
And this will be at the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York.
Yes.
On the shores of the Gowanus Canal. Friday, May 1st at what time?
Get there at 7:30.
And you can get tickets via this website, thebellhouseny.com. That's thebellhouseny.com. As for me, I, John Hodgman, have some live appearances coming up. I've been mentioning my appearance in Charleston, West Virginia. That's on June 22nd. You can go to johnhodgman.com/tour and find the ticket link for that. I am also... you will also see links for my appearances at the Wilco Solid Sound Festival at the end of June. That's June 27th and 28th, if I remember correctly. Not only if you buy tickets and go to North Adams, Massachusetts, in the very place that Colin dreams of becoming an agrarian sleepy gentleman, North Adams, Massachusetts. is the home to the Wilco Solid Sound Festival. Wilco will be playing two big concerts, two nights, and I am curating the comedy stage.
Wow.
As I always do on the Saturday of the festival, the comedy stage will be going on all afternoon with performances by me, Paul F. Tompkins, Jessica Williams of The Daily Show, Tig Notaro and the gentlemen of the Super Ego podcast, and maybe other special guests if they happen to show up and see the show. It's a really great thing. Yeah, I know, Eugene, you ought to come up.
Yeah,
it's going to be a big blast. Taj Mahal is playing at the festival. Parquet Courts is playing at the festival. It's a big deal, and it's very, I think, very reasonably priced, and it only happens every other year, so I hope you will check it out. And then in the fall, September 12th, I will be returning to the Wilbur Theater. Tickets are on sale now. It's one of my favorite. It's Wilbur Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. One of my favorite places to play, and you can go and buy tickets. All the tour dates and appearances are always available at johnhodgman.com/tour. And don't forget, I will be narrating a new narration of Benjamin Britten's A Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra with the Boston Pops on May 13th, 14th, and 16th. Details are on my website and also at pso.org under the Boston Pops area. So that's all my stuff that's coming up. After all my solo shows, I'll always do a meet and greet, and I hope that I will get to see you at one of them. And Jean Grey, I hope I get to see you real soon as well, in person or on the internet, where you are at J-E-A-N Greasy, G-R-E-A-S-Y, yes, at Jean Greasy, and at Instagram at
Jeannie Grigio.
Jeannie Grigio, J-E-A-N-N-I-E-G-R-I-G-I-O. Spelling is hard.
It is a lot.
JeanGrey.bandcamp.com. The name of our case this week was provided by Lisa J. Harris. Thank you, Lisa. Our producer is Julia Smith. Our editor is Mark McConville. If you have a case that you would like to submit to the Judge John Hodgman podcast, it is easy to do it. Go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. That's J-J-H-O, where you can fill out a form or email me directly. I will review your case and we will put it on the air, the fake internet air, if it is suitable for all listeners and justice must be served. And if it's not, I'll just say thanks. please go to MaximumFun.org in any case to listen to all the great podcasts over there and all the previous episodes of
Judd Nelson episodes. I've come to learn
that Judge John Hodgman is not an easy thing to say. It's very difficult.
As I'm
frequently introduced now as Judge Hodgman.
Judge.
Jean Grey, did I forget anything?
No, they can just stay tuned, and I always have stuff going on, so just pay attention.
We'll see you next time on the Judge John Hodgman podcast. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.